Hi there, I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is.
Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. Today we continue to find within the Bible's New Testament the emphasis on Christ's marriage to His church. I hope you have been following along closely as we go through the Bible to see how God was married to Israel, and God, through Jesus Christ, is married to genuine Christians who make up His genuine and true church. We've set off on this journey because Genesis 2:24 prompted this question. Why, so early in the Bible, does God make such a statement about marriage? God gives this revelation to Moses, the author of Genesis. I am reading Genesis 2:24. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. I believe the reason we have Genesis 2:24 is to lay the foundation for God's marriage to Israel and God's marriage to the church. We've studied the texts that demonstrate God as the husband of Israel, and yesterday we turned over to Ephesians 5, and we studied how Christ is married to the church. As man is the groom and woman is the bride, likewise Christ is the groom and the church is the bride. Today I want to finish this discussion by turning ahead again in our Bibles to the final book of the New Testament, and that is the revelation of Jesus Christ. You can find your place in chapter 19 at verse 6, Revelation 19, 6. As you find Revelation 19, and so that I can set the context for what we will read, let me tell you what the Apostle John is now seeing in the revelation that he is receiving from Jesus Christ. Chapter 19 begins a transition from the end of the Great Tribulation to the beginning of the Millennial Kingdom. Do not let those terms confuse you. We do not have time to go into detail here, but you should know that this is a still future time. This has not happened yet. And that any one of you listening to me today who is a Christian, you will have a key part to play in this unfolding drama. All genuine, true Christian people, those of us whose faith and trust is firmly invested in Jesus Christ, we make up the church, and therefore we are married to our Lord. It is this marriage I am about to read about. Are you ready? This is God's word to us from the revelation of Jesus Christ, chapter 19, verses 6 through 9. Revelation 19, 6 through 9. Then I heard something like the voice of a great multitude, and like the sound of many waters, and like the sound of many peals of thunder, saying, Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready. It was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, Write, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, These are true words of God. What will this be? It is the voice of the great multitude. Who are the great multitude? These are all of the servants of the Lord, us, those of us who have been transformed from our sin and despair into new creations in Christ, all of the Jews and the Gentiles who have ever repented of sin, trusting Christ as our Savior. We will cry out in a loud voice, sounding something like many waters and peals of thunder, and we will say, Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Oh yes, we are going to praise our great God forever and ever. Are we having trouble praising God today? We better get that corrected, because we're going to be pouring forth unstoppable praise and thanksgiving when we are with God. We we'll continue. Verse 7 says, "Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready." Ah, now we make the connection between Revelation and Genesis. There is great rejoicing and gladness. And why? Because the marriage of the Lamb has come and the bride is ready. Weddings sure are exciting, and this one, well, we have yet to attend one like this. The Bible makes it clear the marriage is between the Lamb and his bride. If you have your Bible there, then you'll notice the L in Lamb is capitalized. This is a proper name. And this, of course, is another name, another title for Jesus Christ. He is the Lamb of God because Jesus is the perfect sacrifice for sin. In the Old Testament sacrificial system, an unblemished lamb was the sacrifice. In the New Testament, Jesus is that perfect lamb slain, crucified for our sins. So Jesus is the Lamb, and then who is his bride? We are. Christians are. The church is. Revelation 19:7, his bride, literally his wife, has made herself ready. At this still future time, we are clothed in fine linen, bright and clean, a wedding dress, if you will. We have been made righteous by Christ. His righteousness is our righteousness. And we stand finally, at long last, ready for the wedding between Christ and us. What great anticipation we have for this exact moment. I cannot speak for you, but when I read this passage, I find myself absorbed into what God has prepared for his people. This takes my mind off the cares, worries, fears, and anxieties of this world. Oh, church, O bride of Christ, we are going to be here at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Verse 9 is awesome. Let me read it again. Revelation 19:9. Then he said to me, "Write, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb." And he said to me, "These are true words of God." I love the end there. These are the true words of God. What an incredible emphasis John gets and passes along to us. God is speaking to us. God is saying to us, "Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb." Absolutely, we are blessed to be a part of this. The marriage supper is reflective of the third part of a Hebrew wedding. There is the first part, the betrothal, an engagement, if you will. Second, there are festivities that come in the days before the ceremony. The Jews really knew how to celebrate. Consider Jesus in the Gospels when he attended weddings. They lasted several days. And then third, there is the ceremony where marriage vows are exchanged between bride and groom. Then there is a great supper. Here, the marriage supper is shared between the Lamb and his bride. This is a symbolic meal that we'll have together with Christ until the end of the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ on the earth. And this brings us to Revelation chapter 21. Twice more in this chapter, the bride of Christ is mentioned, that is, the church. In both of these verses, which I will read, there is a description of the new Jerusalem, the final eternal heaven. And you will hear the Jerusalem described as the bride of Christ. Why is a place described as a person? Why is a place described as a person? It is because the place takes on the nature and the character of its people, of its inhabitants. And the inhabitants of heaven are the bride of Christ. As the Apostle John reports this in Revelation 21, verse 2, "And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband." And in verse 9, also in Revelation chapter 21. Then one of the seven angels who came had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues, came and spoke with me, saying, "Come here, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." For note takers, I have just read Revelation 21, verses 2 and 9. Revelation 21, 2 and 9. There again is the church, the bride, the wife of the Lamb who is Jesus. Why is all this important? Why have we spent time today in the revelation of Jesus Christ? Well, I've done this to show that the Bible begins with a marriage, Adam and Eve, and ends with a marriage, Christ and the church. There is a strong connection between Genesis and Revelation. All the way through the Bible, again and again, in text after text, God is the husband and Israel is the wife, and Jesus is the groom and the church is the bride. This answers our first question about Genesis 2:24. Why, so early in the Bible, did God say, "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh"? It is because God is laying the groundwork on the foundation of Scripture. Marriage is ultimately about our relationship to God. The marriage of man and woman and the first marriage of Adam and Eve point us to the marriage between God and us. I believe that's why God emphasizes marriage up front. That is why as soon as Eve is created, she is brought by God down the aisle, as it were, the father of the bride escorting his daughter down the aisle to be presented to Adam as his bride. And when we read that, we must think of the marriage of God to Israel and the marriage of Jesus to the church. And we'll talk about this more tomorrow and have some application of what we have read today. Then we'll move forward in our ongoing discussion of Genesis 2. So please join me again tomorrow for God Is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.